الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين. أما بعد, in our previous class we have begun reading from the chapter of the author. He mentioned ما جاء في الكذب والمزح ونحوه, that which has come with regards to lying and joking and the likes of this ونحوه, يعني, and other affairs as well that's related to this topic, the topic of lying. So in our previous class we have begun reading the narration the author he mentioned of Ummi Kulthum bint Uqba radiyallahu anha, that she said that she heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, ليس الكذاب الذي يصلح بين الناس فيقول خيرا أو ينمي خيرا. And the one who, he's not a liar, the one who rectifies between the people and he says some good or he brings about some good. The author, he says, أخرجاه. Both of them have narrated it. What does that mean? Al-Bukhari and Muslim. Naam, barakallahu fikum. After this he says, Wali Muslimin. And then also from this narration, but from the narration of Muslim only, rahimahullahu ta'ala, qalat. We've seen yesterday that this word here is mudraja fil hadith, and it's entered here, but it's not actually correct. It's a mistake from some of the narrators. And what is correct? Qala ibn Shihab. And al-Imam Muslim, he mentioned that, and he, along with these narrations here. So the one who's making this statement now is Ibn Shihab. Ibn Shihab is from the best of the narrators, from Sigar al-Tabi'in. His name is Muhammad ibn Muslim, ibn Ubaidullah ibn Abdullah ibn Shihab. Muhammad ibn Muslim ibn Ubaidullah ibn Abdullah ibn Shihab, al-Zuhri. Al-Zuhri, he died in the year 124. He's known as Ibn Shihab, and he's known as al-Zuhri. So he mentioned here, لم أسمعه يرخص في شيء مما يقول الناس إلا في ثلاث. في الحرب والإصلاح بين الناس وحديث الرجل امرأته وحديث المرأة زوجها. He said, I have not heard that he allowed any of this affair of lying. This is the commentary now from one of the narrators with regards to this. And the original narration from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ليس الكذاب, he's not a liar. الذي يصلح بين الناس, the one who rectifies between the people. فيقول خيرا أو ينمي خيرا, or he will say some goodness or he will bring about some goodness. Ibn Shihab, he says, I have not heard them saying anything or allowing this to be allowed or making it permissible from the statements of the people, except in three affairs, any of the affair of lying now. And that is in harb, al-harb fil harb, and war. What is islah bayn al-nas, and to rectify between the people, to bring reconciliation between two people or two parties who are having a dispute. And whenever a man, he speaks to his wife, and whenever a woman, she speaks to her husband. So these are the affairs that have been mentioned here. This is with regards to lying. And we have seen what is intended by lying. And the people of knowledge, they differed about this. Some of them mentioned in these cases here, it's allowed to directly lie. It's allowed to directly lie. This is from the statements of the people of knowledge, that some of them have mentioned this affair. It's allowed for one to directly lie in this case, yani in the case of rectifying the affairs of two people or two parties who fell into dispute, into disputing and the likes like this, it's allowed to lie. Or likewise, yani in war, or in the affair of a man and his wife and a woman and her husband. And again, this is with regards to the affairs that are not obligatory. It's not allowed to lie and take one of the other's rights, or to betray, or to invalidate a contract and the likes like this. This is not included here. This is outside of these affairs, and in things that are not obligatory to be performed or to be maintained. But what is best, and Allah knows best, is that it's, what is intended here is not directly lying, and this is what many of the scholars have mentioned. Likewise, a number of them from the Tabari, he mentioned that lying is not used in any, is not allowed in any case, in any form. Lying is not allowed in any form, in any case, to directly lie intentionally, on purpose, to say something that is 100% not true. This is not allowed whatsoever. And Allah knows best, yani, this is the origin. So therefore, what they mention here, what is intended by lying, is using the tawriya, and using the ma'arif. And the people that of knowledge, they say that this means and yatakallam al-mar bi al-karima laha ma'nayan, that a person, he will say a statement, and that statement has two meanings. Ahaduhuma qarib wa al-akhar ba'id. One of the meaning is close, and the other one is far away. So the one who is speaking, he will make it apparent, and the one who is listening, he will understand the near meaning, or the meaning that is most apparent and understood from that statement, and the direct meaning, and he would intend the other meaning. And he would intend the other meaning in order to save himself from lying and to slip out of lying. And from here, the people of Naras, they say, فِي الْمَعَارِيضِ مَنْدُوحَةٌ عَنِ الْكَذِبِ. By using the ma'arid in this manner, this is a way out and a means of safety and an exit away from lying and falling into lying. So we have seen some of these affairs here. This is what is best, and Allah knows best. Yani, that one, he will never directly lie, or it will never be allowed for him to directly lie and to say that which is impermissible. We've seen some examples yesterday on how to use these ma'aril and rectify between two people. Who remembers the example? This man, he's always making dua for you. Every day he's making dua for you. Why don't you show mercy to him? Why don't you pardon him? And don't you know he's making dua for you every day? What does he mean by that? Yeah, and his general supplication for the Muslims, and also in the tashahud specifically, whenever a believer, he says, Wassalamu alayna wa ala ibadillahi salihin. And oh Allah, send salam and peace upon us, and safety and security upon us, and upon the righteous slaves. And upon the righteous slaves of Allah. So then, what he is intending here is the general any supplication of every Muslim. He's making supplication every day. Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. Yani ihdina, yani al-muslimin. When we say this, guide us to the straight path, yani the believers. So believer, he says this even in his salat, yani in a number of different places like this. So he's intending this, but the man, he thinks he's specifying him for supplication. Don't you know he's making dua for you? And in reality, he's making dua for him because he's included in that supplication, in that general supplication. So here he's not lying. So he's able to use this manner like this to be safe from lying and still to rectify between the people. And this here is allowed. And this here is allowed. So this was an example of that. With regards to al-harb, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, al-harbu khid'ah, or khad'ah, that war is deception. War is deception. So likewise, it's mentioned here that Ibn Shihab, he said that he heard that it's allowed to lie in war. But wallahu alam, what is intended here likewise is ma'aril, or the tawriya. And the people of knowledge, they mentioned that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if he intended to go for a battle, that he would make the tawriya. Like if he was going to go in the direction of the east, he would leave out to the west. He would head out to the west. And before he would head out, he would ask the people, and he would start asking questions. And whenever he's telling his people to get prepared for the battle, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he'll start asking about towns and cities and the likes like this, and events occurring in a whole other area. And he'll ask about this area and that area, and he'll leave out in that direction. But then whenever he gets away from the town and the people, he'll turn around and he'll go the other way to the direction that he really intends. So this is what it means, that harbu khid'ah, that war is deception. So it's trickery here in this manner, but there's no direct lying. There's no direct lying. And so he would allude to something, and then he would intend something else in order to save himself from falling into hardship or difficulty or harm in the likes like this. So this is what is intended. And no doubt it's not allowed. It's not allowed to betray the enemy. The enemy, if you make a covenant with him or a contract with him or a bond with him in a specific issue, it's not allowed to betray him. That's not what this is intended here. The war is deception. Meaning you can say, oh yeah, there's a truce. We have a truce. And then whenever they put their guns down or their weapons down, you attack them and you take them out in this manner. La, or you violate la. This is not permissible. This is called ghadr. And this is called khiyana. And this is a foul and the evil way, rather it's from the ways of the hypocrites. So this is not included here. This is not included here. This will not be a means to make khiyana or al-ghadr permissible by using this affair right here. We understand that. This is very important. This is very important. The contracts, they must be upheld. They cannot be invalid. And the rights of the people, they must be upheld likewise. And they cannot be taken or oppressed or wronged, or injustice cannot be done to the people in this manner. This is not a means to use against the people to do injustice to them or to harm them, but rather to get out of situations, to get out of circumstances, to get out of harm or danger or a tight situation and the likes like this, that's not involving the rights of the people or violating contracts. For example, in war, the people of knowledge, they say that if the one will tell the enemy, if there's an enemy around and they can communicate, and they're away from their leader or their forces and the likes like this, one will say, for example, y'all didn't hear your leader has been killed. Your leader died. Your imam he's finished, he's dead. And what he intends is the imam from, you know, a long time ago, from many years ago. Their imam, meaning their old imam from many years ago, he's dead. He's dead. But whenever they hear that, their forces hear that, this would bring a fear, and our leader is dead. They've killed our leader like this, and then it would bring the fear into their heart, and it could cause some disturbance amongst them and make it easy to take advantage of them or to defeat them or to be safe from them. So this is another example of that. So they're not lying. They're saying a statement that they believe that sounds like he's talking about their leader right now, that the one is in charge of them. But what do they intend? Their leader from before. And whoever he was before, the leader that had passed and preceded, that he has been killed. So this is also from the means of that, or to tell the or to like make it known to the enemy, to say that our forces and our supplies, we have a re-up on our supplies. Don't try us. Our supplies have been fulfilled and re-upped, and we have a bunch of supplies have come. And he's talking about food and bread and the likes like this. And if they think that he's talking about any weapons and backup troops and the likes like this, but what he intends, in reality, none of that came. What came is some water and some food, or a little bit of this or a little bit of that. But they'll say, oh, great supplies have come. We have received a re-up in supplies and just reached us. And to deceive them or to trick them in this manner, but they're not lying. But they're not lying. If somebody were to say, where are your supplies? You can say, look right here. Or if somebody were to go into detail, where's the rulers? I thought you said, don't you know ruler so-and-so? He died 100 years ago. like this. So he has a way out. That's the mean that in this speech here, mandu hatun, it's a way out. An al-kadhib, to be safe from lying. So this is an example of that. This is an example of that. Yani, and likewise, yani, a man between his wife or the woman between her husband, and maybe sometimes he will say something, a beautiful word, and he doesn't necessarily mean it entirely, or she will do the same thing. Yani, but in order to keep the love strong and to keep the relationship strong and the likes like this, maybe she will be right, for example, in a dispute, and he will be wrong. And then in order to make everything better, she will go to him and apologize, I'm sorry, like this, like it's her fault. Yani, but she didn't do anything, rather he did, or vice versa. Like this and like this, you know, I should have never done that. And in reality, he didn't do anything, or she didn't do anything, or the likes like this, or if they have a falling out, or if he has more than one wife, and one of them is clear, yani, because Allah, he commands the hearts and has control of the hearts, he loves one of them more than the other, but he treats them all fairly. If he treats them all fairly, that's what's incumbent. But to love one of them more than the other, this is allowed. I mean, this is in the hands of Allah, what is the affair of the heart, for him to tell the other one that he loves less. And he truly in his heart knows he loves the other one more. I love you more, the most out of all of my wives, like this. Yani, this is what could be included here. Yani, in the meaning of that it's allowed for him. But to do that and to use a tawriyah, this is even better. This is even better. Yani, to do that and to use a tawriyah, this is even safer. Even safer to say it in a manner where he could not be considered lying. But even yani, in this case, to keep the bond good, inshallah. Yani, this is what is being intended here. Sometimes it could be an obligation to lie or to a very minimum use the tawriyah. Yani, and that is in the case, for example, if there is someone who is oppressed, as someone who has been wronged and he's fleeing from the oppressor, and the oppressor comes and he's searching for him. And it's known that any this man, if he gets his hands on so-and-so, that he's going to harm him or he's going to do something to him. And so somebody he will hide with somebody, for example. And he's somebody who's oppressed. It's not allowed to hide an oppressor. This is not in the case of hiding the oppressor. This is in the case of hiding somebody who is oppressed unlawfully. an injustice is done to him, and law is feared for him, that somebody will take him unrightfully or unlawfully or harm him and do an injustice to him. And he, for example, if you hide him in the house and the oppressor comes to find him, is he here? Is so-and-so here? Then at this time, it's not allowed to say, oh yeah, he's right there. You know, I can't lie. I can't lie. This is not allowed here, because now you're going to be aiding him. So now you have to find a way out from this. So one of the ways out from this is to, for example, point into the house, at the door, point in the door like this, but you're pointing at the wall. You're pointing at the wall and you say, so-and-so, is so-and-so in here? What is he going to be doing in here in the first place? Of course he's not in here. And he's pointing at the wall. And he thinks you're pointing in the house, but you intend the wall. And what is he going to be doing in here, meaning in the wall? And of course he's not in there. He's in the back room, Yanni. He's not in the wall, or he's not over here, or he's not in that direction. You point at that chair, of course he's not there. He's not there like this. So then you have a way out, Yanni, from the situation without directly lying. Without directly lying. We understand that. This is what is intended, and Allah knows best. This is what is intended, and Allah knows best. One thing that likewise should be noted about this affair is that a believer, he should not use this all the time. Some people, they oppress this affair, or they go to extremes with this affair, and every time they speak to somebody, they're always left and right using these affairs, using the ma'aril and using the tawriyah, until the extent that it's known for that. Like he's always saying one thing and doing something else, and then whenever you catch him on that, well, the Prophet ﷺ said this and you can do that. This is not something that one will be accustomed to. And that it'll be from his methodology that every time he talks, he misleads the people, and he, from his real intention, and then use this as an evidence. No, this is something that one will use whenever it's needed. This is something that one will use whenever it's needed. This is not something that one will use all the time and every time he talks to the people, and he will not deceive the people and the likes like this and trick them all the time in this manner. But brother, whenever the situation is tough, or he's in a situation, a circumstance that he does not want to be in, and he wants to find a way out from it, and he does not want to lie, then he will use it now. Then he'll use it now, like this. But as for somebody who always uses it until he becomes known for that, this is not a good way. This is not a good way. And then likewise, for one to use this type of speech in order to take the right of the husband or the right of the wife and the likes like this is not allowed, or the right of the brother or whatever the case may be, or to deceive them and their right that they deserve, this is not allowed. And they're not excused in this manner. And so the man that he's allowed to use this to his wife, or the wife to the man, not in order to take one of their rights that's incumbent to be given, or to deny them one of their rights. This is not an excuse. Rather, this will be a sin here. We understand that? This is very important. And people will take advantage of these affairs. And this is not correct. This is not correct. And the legislation is to preserve the religion, to preserve the deen, and to preserve the honor and reputation, to preserve the rights of the people, not to take them and deceive them and trick them. And so this is something that should be known. The author, he says, وَعَنْ عَبْدَاللَّهِ ibn Amir. رضي الله عنه قال دعني أمي يوما ورسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم جالس في بيتنا فقالت ها تعالى أعطيك فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ما أردت أن تعطيه قالت أعطيه تمرا فقال لها رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أما إنك لو لم تعطيه لكتبت عليك كذبة رواه أحمد وأبو داود. So the author, he mentioned a narration of Abdullah ibn Amr. And he's mentioning, radiallahu anhu, that his mother called him one day while the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, was sitting in their home. And meaning at this time, he was a young boy, before the age of puberty, a very young boy. But he remembers this event. He says that my mother called me one day, and the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, was sitting in our home. So she said, come here, I'm going to give you something. She said, تعال أعطيك. Come here, I'm going to give you something. So at this time, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, what do you want to give him? وَمَا أَرَدْتِ أَن تُعْطِيهِ. What do you want to give him? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's verifying this situation now. So she said, أُعْطِيهِ تَمْرًا. I want to give him a date. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he told her, أَمَا إِنِّكِ لَوْ لَمْ تُعْطِيهِ لَكُتِبَتْ عَلَيْهِ كَذْبًا. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if you had not given him anything, it would have been written against you as a lie. And if you did not want to give in anything. So there are a number of benefits here. From them is the diligence of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to maintain justice and to command that which is good, and to verify in this manner. Whenever he's seen something happening like this, that possibly it could have been contrary to what is allowed, yani, and it could have been considered a lie, and it's in front of him, then he will not allow that. So, but at the same time, he did not accuse her. He did not accuse her immediately of what could have been apparent, but rather he sought details. Why did you do that? So this is a good way likewise. So if somebody sees something that's not allowed, or what appears could be going down in front of one, and it's happening right now, something that possibly could be blameworthy if it was not stopped or checked, before blaming the person, to check and to verify. What is that? What are you doing? Why did you do that? Why are you doing that? What did you want to give them? Like this, to verify before accusing. Before accusing, because if a person were to accuse, and then in reality the person is really going to give something, for example, like in this case, then he would have become an oppressor, and by accusing them unrightfully, so before doing that, one would think first before he speaks, and he would ask the question, and he would seek a little bit of detail, and then after that, the clarification can come. So here, alhamdulillah, she wanted to give him a tamar. She wanted to give him a date. So now the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam clarified again. And the reason why I asked you this affair is because if you had not given him anything, it would have been written against you as a lie. It would have been written against you as a lie. Meaning written in your record, and against you as a lie. So the people of Najd, they mentioned that this is from the aspect of lying. And for example, to tell somebody that, come here, I'm going to give you something. And then you have no intent, like for example, a child, like in this case. Come here, I'm going to give you something. Or sometimes they'll close their hand like this and act like they have something. And all they want to do is get the person to come, or the child to come. They don't really want to give them anything. They just want to, get him to come like this. This is considered lying. This is considered lying. And this will be written against the person as a sin. It's been mentioned from in the biographies of some of the Salaf, that one of the Salaf, I forget exactly who it is now, but it's mentioned that he traveled a period, and he traveled some time to get to a man to take knowledge from him. He traveled at some time, it may be Al-Bukhari, I forget, rahimahullah, some time to get to a man to take knowledge from him. Whenever he got there, he saw the man, he was acting like he had some food in his hand, and he was luring a donkey or an animal. And whenever the animal came to him, he didn't give him anything. So whenever he saw this, and he was just pretending, trying to, you know, take care of his business and get the animal to comply to him like this. So whenever he seen that, he did not stay there. Rather, he got up and left, and he never took knowledge from that person. And he didn't take hadith from that person. He seen that he's lying to an animal like this, and then he said, well, I'm not going to take knowledge from this individual. Not that necessitates that this man, he's a liar. But this is just from the diligence of some of the scholars of hadith, that they would be very diligent in picking those who they take knowledge from and who they learn from and the likes like this. In any case, it's the same situation. So this is considered lying. A believer who will not do that. And likewise, in this affair here, this is not only lying, the person is lying, but also he's cultivating lie, the child upon lying. And so now he's teaching the child how to lie. So the child is learning like this. He's learning from the action. So when the child gets there, he has his hopes up he's going to get something. When he gets there, he gets nothing. So now he sees that, oh, okay, this is how you can lie now to get what you want and to move the people. Like this. This is learning. He's learning from them like this. You understand that? So this is even more dangerous. And Allah knows best. To not only lie, but to call to lying and to teach the children how to lie. So therefore, a believer, he will not do this. This is from the complete guidance. The complete guidance of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in every aspect it has been clarified, and it has been narrated, and it has been mentioned in detail how one should live his life. And this is from the examples of that. He says, "Rahu Ahmadu wa Abu Dawud." Rahu Ahmadu wa Abu Dawud. After this, the author, he says, "Wadi Ahmad an Abi Hurairah radhiyallahu anhu marfu'a." And also, it's narrated by Ahmad from the Hadith of Abi Hurairah radhiyallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Man qala li sabiyyin ha ta'al u'tik thumma lam yu'tihi fahiya kadhba." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, whoever said to a child, come here, I will give you something, and he did not give him anything, then it's a lie. So we see again, barakallahu fikum, that which has proceeded with regards to the beginning of this chapter about lying and being truthful. that what is incumbent upon a believer and yataharra as-sidq, that he will pursue truthfulness. And meaning that he will prefer that and he will love that and he will go to whatever means and needs he needs to meet to remain truthful and to not fall into lying. So this is from the clarification of that. Yani that from the means of pursuing truthfulness and staying away from lying is that he will not even lie in this manner. And he's not necessarily lying with his tongue directly. Come here, I'll give you something. And if he's doing it like that, then he doesn't give it anything, this is lying. Or even if you said ta'ala and you pretend you have something like this, and then you deceive him in the end, you don't give him anything. And he thinks from your body language that there's something for him if he comes. And then there's nothing. All of this is considered lying. This is all something that a believer who have to strive to stay away from and to avoid and to remain far from doing these affairs. If not, he will fall into lying. When if a person falls into lying, then it pulls him and it pulls him and it pulls him, and later it becomes lighter and easier for him. And more it becomes easier and less difficult for him to perpetrate this particular type of action. وَلِيَذَا بِاللَّهِ وَلَا تَأْتَبِيُّ خُطُوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ الشَّيْطَانِ he's going to pull you little bit by little bit by little bit until eventually a person, he will not have any concern anymore, and he will lose his shyness and his fear of Allah Azza wa Jal, and his desires will take a hold of him. So, and to avoid these affairs from every aspect, to pursue truthfulness, not to lie, not in speech and not in action and the likes like this, not from any manner, not even to a child, then this is what is required to be upright. The author, he says, وَلَهُ وَلِي أَحْمَدَ وَلَهُ أَنْ أَسْمَاءَ بِنْتِ يَزِيدَ, from the narration of أسماء بنت يزيد رضي الله عنها, قالت يا رسول الله إن قالت إحدانا لشيء تشتهي لا أشتهي أن يعد ذلك كذبا؟ قال صلى الله عليه وسلم نعم إن الكذب يكتب كذبا حتى تكتب الكذيبة كذيبة. This narration here is from أسماء بنت يزيد رضي الله عنها. She says, I said, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if one of us, meaning one of us women, and you hear the questions, if one of us were to say about something that I desire this, or I crave this, or I would like this, and she does not really desire it or want it, would this be considered a lie? And so the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, yes, verily a lie is written as a lie, even until the extent that a small lie is written as a small lie. Kudayba, yani ism tasgir min al-kadhib, yani a small lie. So there's no such thing as a white lie. A white lie. They say also al-kathba al-bayda, huh? Like that? Al-kathba al-bayda, and the white lie. La al-kathib kulluhu aswad. The people of knowledge, they mentioned this. La, lying, all of it is black. None of it is white. And you see how they decorate the falsehood. They decorate the truth with falsehood. They try to make it sound appealing. It's just a white lie. It's just a white lie. It's not a real lie. It's a white lie. Subhanallah. No, this is not the case. All of that is written against the person, and he's held accountable for that. All of this is written against the person, and it's held accountable for that. After this, the author, he says, "Wa at-Tirmidhi wa hassanahu marfu'an," and also has been narrated from at-Tirmidhi, and he has declared it to be hasan. And he, from the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the author, he didn't mention the narrator. The narrator here is Muawiyah ibn Hayda. Muawiyah ibn Hayda radiallahu anhu. He says, ويل للذي يحدث بالحديث ليضحك به القوم فيكذب ويل له ويل له. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, ويل, ويل, يعني we know الحلاك والعذاب, destruction. May the person be destroyed. The one who speaks with speech, يعني he will say a statement in order to make the people laugh, and he will lie. He will say a statement, and his statement is just to make the people laugh. All he wants to do is make the people laugh, and then he will lie in order to do that. Yani a lie, a direct lie. Naam, he will lie. فَيَكْذِبْ وَيْلُ لَهُ وَيْلُ لَهُ. May he be destroyed, may he be destroyed. May he be destroyed, may he be destroyed. What did we see in the beginning of this work with regards to verifying and determining which action is considered a major sin? A threat. That's one of the ways. A punishment. A specific punishment in this life or in the hereafter. Naam. a curse, right? A curse. Naam. Also, in our hadith, wail, wail. If it says wail, if it says غضب الله عليه, or if it says لعنه الله, the anger of Allah is upon him, or the curse of Allah is upon him. A wail, wail, like that. Likewise, this is the indication that it's a major sin. That it's a major sin. And so here, this is something that somebody should not take lightly. Somebody should not take lightly. Yani to directly lie, yani in order to make the people laugh. Yani to say something that's from the aspect of tawriyah and to laugh with the people, this is allowed. And we've seen an example of that. We've seen an example of that in our previous class last week. And likewise, any other situation like that, a woman, an old woman, ajuz, she came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and she said, "Udu Allaha an yaj'alni min ahli jannah." And she said, "O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, make dua that I will be from the people of paradise." So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, "La tadkhul jannah ajuz." He said, "Oh, woman doesn't enter paradise. An old woman doesn't enter paradise." And she comes, she's an old woman. So I should make dua, I can go to paradise, O Messenger of Allah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Old women don't go to paradise." Huh? So now at this time, what is she becomes upset? And the likes like that, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Did not you hear Allah? وَجَعَلْنَاهُنَّ أَبَخَارًا أُرُبًا أَتْرَابًا لِأَصْحَابِ الْيَمِينِ." Meaning that the women who enter paradise, they don't enter in old age. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will make them young again. And they will enter paradise when they're young. They will not enter paradise in an old age. Like this. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's joking with her, but he's saying the truth in this manner. In this manner. So this is allowed. This is allowed, alhamdulillah, to be lighthearted sometimes with the people and the likes, especially, for example, in travels and situations like this, to lighten the heart and to ease the moment and the situation, to make the difficult affair easier. This is good, alhamdulillah. But likewise, somebody who will not always do that as well. He will not always be laughing and joking with the people in this manner. And he will use it lightly. So that's allowed. As for directly lying, and the only intention a person has is to make the people laugh, then the people of knowledge, they have really blamed this person. For example, somebody who will lie many times, he will benefit, yani a worldly benefit. He will lie and he gets some money, yani, or he will lie and get some deception. He will lie in this manner, and he will have a worldly benefit and worldly gain, yani, at that moment. And that's what carries him to lie, to save himself or to gain some wealth or position and the likes like this. So therefore he'll lie. So he's getting something, and it's not allowed, and this is not yani making it permissible for him. But here, in contrast to the person now, he will do the same thing. He will lie, but he does not want anything except for the people to laugh with him. He does not want anything except to make the people laugh and giggle, yani, like this. So from this aspect, yani, this is even more blameworthy. This is even more blameworthy to lie like this directly. And Allah knows best. So the author, he says now, بَابٌ مَا جَاءَ فِي التَّمَلُّقِ بَابٌ مَا جَاءَ فِي التَّمَلُّقِ وَمَدْحِ الْإِنسَانِ بِمَا لَيْسَ فِيهِ بِمَا لَيْسَ فِيهِ. The chapter that has come with regards to التملق. التملق, yani, that's the masdar. Who knows the verb? تملق, صرف. نعم, أحسنت. تملق, يتملق, تملق, تملق. And التملق is whenever a person, he will have a need. He will have a need and he will want something from somebody, and he will go to them and he will belittle himself before them and he will praise them and say much good things about them and the likes like this in order to get something from them. What do they call that in English? We all know, right? It has a number of names. Some of them, they're not nice names. Huh? That's called tamalluk. At-tamalluk. When they will go to somebody and like this, and not because he wants to respect them or honor them, but rather because he wants something from them. So there he will go before them and act humble and belittle himself before them and say all these good words of praises about them and the likes like that in order to get something from them, or to try to get something from them. That's called tamalluk. From tamalluk, madhu al-insan bima laysa fihi, to praise somebody with for something they do not have. To praise somebody for something they do not have. And he, for example, he will go over there and he will need something from them, and he will make tamalluk, and he knows the person in reality is greedy. The person is greedy. It's hard to get something from him. And he will say, "I know you're the most generous, and you give charity left and right, and you're known for helping the poor, and you and like that, and just blatantly lying and praising him with all these traits he does not have. And this comes from making tamalluk, and this is one aspect of that. We understand that. So the chapter is about this affair. All of this is blameworthy and not allowed. All of this is blameworthy and not allowed. So the author says, "Wa qawli Allahi Ta'ala, babun ma ja'a fi atamalluki wa madhi al-insan bima laysa fihi wa qawlu Allahi Ta'ala wajtanibu qawl az-zur. Wajtanibu qawl az-zur." And avoid and stay away from, or the statement of Allah the Most High, and avoid and stay away from qawl az-zur, the false testification. Avoid and stay away from false testification. Az-zur, the people of Allah, as they say, this means in general batil, falsehood. Many times it's used to refer to any false testimony, to bear witness to something in order to take somebody's right or to deny somebody's right. This is called qawl az-zur. But also lying and every statement of falsehood. And every statement of falsehood, this is considered likewise qawl az-zur. And from the zur and from the falsehood in speech is that somebody will praise someone with something they do not have. They will praise somebody, and he mentioned praises for a person with traits that person he does not have. And even worse than that is to like that and to love to be praised for something that one does not have. This is from the traits of? The traits of the hypocrites. وَيُحِبُّونَ أَن يُحْمَدُوا بِمَا لَمْ يَفْعَلُوا. They love that Allah, he mentioned about them, that the hypocrites, they like that. They like when people praise them for things they did not do. The traits they do not have. Somebody praises them for that, they like that. They like, وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. They like to be praised for these things. So from falsehood, to praise somebody and mention the praises of somebody and mention traits of goodness about him, and he really does not even have them. And many times, when will a person do this? Whatever he's making, tamalluk. He's trying to get something. He's trying to suck up to him and get something like this in this manner, like this, and get something from him. Allah, he says, wajtanibu qawl az-zur. Al-ijtinab means to stay away from something and to avoid it. Yani al-ijtinab, yani abtarkuhu wa ibti'adu anhu. To leave it and then after that, stay away from it. So not only do you leave qawl az-zur and the statements of falsehood and false testification and praising people with batil, but also you leave that and then you stay away from it. So it means to avoid it. So this is something again from the aspect of tahari as-sidq, to tahari as-sidq, to be from those who are truly pursuing and striving to be truthful and from the truthful honestly with Allah, then they have to avoid these affairs. So the author, he says, rawa al-imam Ahmad an Abi Dawood and شعبة and قيس بن مسلم أنه سمع طارق بن شهاب رضي الله عنه يحدث عن عبد الله رضي الله عنه يقول. If we see in the text the narrator and he's the companion and there's only his name only, Abdullah, who is intended now? Because how many Abdullahs do we know from the companions? We know four from the youth, right? And we know one from the elders for sure. There are others. But there's a principle that people have not mentioned, that whenever the chain comes and the narrator, the companion, is mentioned Abdullah only, with nothing else, what is intended here? The big one. Abdullah bin Mas'ud. Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. And so this is what is intended here. So Tariq ibn Shihab radiallahu anhu is narrating on Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. He says, يَقُولْ إِنَّ الرَّجُلَ لَيَخْرُجُ مِنْ بَيْتِهِ وَمَعُهُ دينه فيلقى الرجل وله إليه حاجة فيقول له أنت كيت وكيت يثني عليه لعله أن يقضي من حاجته شيئا فيسخط الله عليه فيرجع وما معه من دينه شيء يعني سبحان الله. So we see here that this narration, the author, he mentioned the chain to Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu, the chain of Ahmed ibn Hanbal. When did he die? 241. An Abi Dawood. He's narrating on Abi Dawood. Ahmed narrates on Abi Dawood. Actually, he did one narration, but not this one. The origin is Ahmed, he's the sheikh of Abu Dawood, right? Abu Dawud, here is Abu Dawud al-Tayalisi. He has a musnad also, and he died in the same year as Imam al-Shafi'i. When is that? Ahsanta. We just reviewed all of these affairs, so it's a pop quiz, 204. Naam, Abu Dawud al-Tayalisi has a musnad. Musnad Abi Dawud al-Tayalisi, a great scholar of hadith, he died in 204. He narrated on Shu'bah ibn Hajjaj, 160, and Qais ibn Muslim, he died in 120. That he heard Tariq ibn Shihab. Tariq ibn Shihab, he died in 82. He was from those people who seen the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam whenever he was young child, but he didn't hear from him. But he's considered from the companions and Allah knows best. He was from the students of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, and he said, radiallahu anhu, إِنَّ رَجُلَ لَيَخْرُجُ مِنْ بَيْتِهِ وَمَعَهُ دِينُهُ. Verily a man, he will leave his house, and he has his religion with him, and he has his faith with him, he has his iman with him, he has his tawheed with him, and he's upon his deen. Alhamdulillah. فَيَلْقَى الرَّجُلَ وَلَهُ إِلَيْهِ حَاجَةٌ. And he will meet a man, and now he's out and about, and in his, as he's out, he will meet a man, and he has some need with that person. And he has some need to obtain from that person. فَيُقُولُ لَهُ أَنْتَ كَيْتَ وَكَيْتَ. So he'll say to him, oh, you're this and you're that. And he's praising him. And in this manner, يعني وَاللَّهُ عَلَمْ, in a manner that is not befitting or allowed. يُثْنِي عَلَيْهِ لَعَلَّهُ أَنْ يَقْضِيَ مِنْ حَاجَتِهِ شَيْئًا. He'll praise him and praise him. Hopefully he will take care of some of his need. Hopefully he'll take care of some of his need. And then he says, فَيَسْخَطُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ, and Allah will become angry at him at this time, and because of the situation. فَيَرْجِعُ وَمَا مَعَهُ مِنْ دِينِهِ شَيْءٍ, and he will go back home and he will not return with anything from his religion. And this is similar, or an interpretation or example of the narration of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that إِنَّ الرَّجُلَ لَيُسْبِحُ مُؤْمِنًا وَيُمْسِي كَافِرًا. That a man in the end of days, the fitna will be so great that he will come in the morning as a believer, and in the evening, by the evening, he'll be a disbeliever. Or in the evening, he'll be a believer, and by morning time, he will be a disbeliever. He has disbelieved. يَبِيعُ دِينَهُ بِغَرَضٍ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. He will sell his religion for a measly price of this worldly life. So this is from that aspect. This is from that aspect. So this is something that is dangerous, to praise the people and to mention good about them, and it's not true, in order to get something from them. So this is a dangerous affair. This is from Qawl al-Zur. Qawl al-Zur, to praise the people for affairs that they do not have. For affairs that they do not have. I think we forgot to mention the narration about the Kudayba. It was in the previous chapter. That narration is weak. The narration is weak. But the meaning of the narration, and it has been established before. That the person he lies, regardless of what the lie is, if it's small or large, it's written against him. And that's the meaning of the narration. That's the meaning of the narration of Asma bint Yazid, number 57. It's mentioned that the chain is weak. Sheikh Al-Albani, he declared it weak. But no doubt, the meaning here, is included, and it's clarified in the previous narrations. So sometimes the people of knowledge, they will mention these narrations in this manner. Sometimes if it's weak, or if it has a light weakness, but the meaning is correct, and then they'll use it not as a proof, but as supporting evidence and the likes like this, or to mention it along with those narrations that have been mentioned on this topic. After establishing the subject and the mas'ala with clear proof and evidence. After this, the author, he says, بَابُ مَا جَاءَ فِي النَّهْيِ عَنْ كَوْنُ الْإِنسَانِ مَدَّاحًا. That which has come from the prohibition of a person being مَدَّاحًا. A مَدَّاح, this is سِغَةْ مَبَالَغَة, from مَدَحَ. A مَدَح is to praise somebody. So somebody who praises the people, from time to time, they call him مَادِح. اسم فاعل from المدح, مَادِح. He's praised the people like this. But somebody who's praising the people all the time, known for praising the people, this is now from the aspect of Sigat Mubalagha, so they call it Maddah. Maddah wasn't Fa'al. We've seen that previously, like the person who lies one or two times, they call him Kadhib. But the one who's known for lying, what do they call him? كذاب كذاب نبت شدة فعال. So now this is and is even more emphasized, and it becomes a well-known trait of that person. So here, the prohibition of a person praising the people all the time, praising the people all the time. Why would that be? There's a relationship between here and the narration that we take yesterday from the hadith that was in the Muqaddimah Sahih Muslim. Who remembers that hadith? The hadith that was in the Muqaddimah Sahih Muslim. We said we should memorize that hadith. Anybody memorized it? Kafa bin mar'i kadhiban an yuhaditha bi kulli ma sami'. There's a relationship here. The author says, وَقَوْلُ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى and the statement of Allah the Most High, أَلَمْ تَرَى إِلَى الَّذِينَ يُزَكُّونَ أَنفُسَهُمْ بَلِ اللَّهُ يُزَكِّي مَنْ يَشَاءُ بَلِ اللَّهُ يُزَكِّي مَنْ يَشَاءُ أَلَمْ تَرَى إِلَى الَّذِينَ يُزَكُّونَ أَنفُسَهُمْ بَلِ اللَّهُ يُزَكِّي مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَلَا يُظْلَمُونَ فَتِيلًا. In Surah An-Nisa. So he mentioned the statement here under this chapter. The chapter is the prohibition of constantly or praising people all the time, or rather going to extremes and praising people. Going to extremes and praising people. This is probably the better translation, مدحن, يعني الإطراء. Going to extremes with regards to praising people. So Allah, he says, have you not seen those who praise their own selves? Rather, it is Allah who purifies makes pious and rectifies and makes upright whomever He wills. Yani Allah, He praises whomever He wills. Yani and makes them pure and makes them pious. أَلَمْ تَرَى إِلَّا الَّذِينَ يُزَكُّونَ أَنفُسُهُمْ those who praise themselves. Yani praising oneself, meaning to praise oneself himself, or to praise yani one another likewise like this. This is in reference to the Jews. This is in reference to the Jews. Yani and the Christians, and they praise themselves, and they say, for example, نَحْنُ أَبْنَاءُ اللَّهِ وَأَحِبَّاءُ. The Jews and the Christians, what do they say? Oh, we're the children of Allah and His beloved ones. We're the children of Allah and His beloved ones. Yani, this is what they claim, and they say likewise, لَا يَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةَ إِلَّا مَنْ كَانَ هُودًا أَوْ نَصَارًا. Nobody went to paradise except for somebody who's a Jew or a Christian. But then in the end, they all differ with each other and the likes. But yani, this is yani, with regards to them specifically. So from their traits is that they praise each other and they praise one another and they go to extremes in that. But rather it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is the one who purifies the people and makes them pious and grants them piety until they are worthy of praise. Until they are worthy of praise. And somebody who is truly pious, he will never praise himself. وَلَا تُزَكُّوا أَنفُسَكُمْ هُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِمَنِ اتَّقَى. Allah, He said that do not praise yourselves. Verily, He is most knowledgeable or all aware of those who are worthy, and of those who are pious, of those who are pious. So here is a prohibition from that, and a prohibition from that, praising the people and praising oneself and the likes like this all the time. And this is something that should be known. And people do this in these days, and he's trying to get status and rank in the hearts of the people. The one will praise the other and the other will praise the other, and all they want to do is achieve goals, and they have worldly aims and the likes like this, and this is a foul way. And even some of them, they'll do what has preceded in the previous class, and if they can use a person, they'll praise him greatly and mention, this is our good brother, this is our good brother, our good Salafi brother, and he's really a criminal or a liar, and he's known for that. Some of them are known, it's known he's a car thief. But then if they can use him, then they'll praise him greatly and they will bring him close. And he's mentioned he's the good brother. Yani, and this is foul. This is not a good way. So the author, he says, وَلِي مُسْلِمٍ عَنْ مِكْدَادٍ عَنِ الْمِكْدَادِ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ أَنَّ رَجُلٍ جَعَلَ يَمْدَحُ عُثْمَانٍ. And then in Sahih Muslim, from the narration of Al-Mikdad, Al-Mikdad ibn al-Aswad, رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ, that a man, he started to praise Uthman. فجثى المقداد على ركبتيه فجعل يحثو في وجهه تراب. So at this time المقداد, he got down on his knees and to grab the dirt, and he started throwing dirt in this man's face. فقال له عثمان. So at this time عثمان, he says something to him. ما شأنك؟ يعني, what are you doing? لماذا تفعل هذا؟ يعني, ما شأنك؟ Why are you doing that? قال إن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال إذا رأيتم مدحين فحثوا في وجوههم at Torah, that if you see the people who are going to extremes and praising others, then throw dirt in their face. Yani it's clear here that Al-Mikdad, he's the one who's narrating this narration, and he understood it to mean literally. Mm-hmm. He understood it to mean Literally, it's mentioned that he was a large man, a big man, radiallahu anhu. He bent down, he got the dirt, and he threw it in the man's face. The similar situation has occurred with Ubadah ibn Samit, radiallahu anhu. It's come in his tarjama that he was in Sham with Muawiyah, radiallahu anhu, and a man, he started praising Muawiyah in this manner like this. And it's known Muawiyah at this time, he has a position, he's a ruler. And here likewise, at this time, Uthman, he has position, he's a ruler. So sometimes people will go to the rulers and praise them in order to make tamalluk and get something from them. And the likes like this. So this is what is considered al-maddahin. And he's somebody who just praises somebody. And this is not necessarily blameworthy. But whenever he goes to extremes in that, now it becomes blameworthy. So this is the one you throw dirt in his face. It's mentioned that Ubadah, he did the same thing. He literally took the dirt and threw it in the man's face. Muawiyah asked him what he's doing. He said, and the people that started out, why you do that to that man? And he said, be quiet. You were not with us whenever we pledged allegiance to obey the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in good times and in bad times. And because he is from the first of the Ansar, he was from the Nuqaba. And he pledged allegiance to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam before he made hijrah, that they will obey him in everything he says. And he said, throw dirt in the face of the one who goes to extremes like this. So this is what he did, and he applied the narration in this manner. And in any case, to go to extremes in praising, this is not allowed. This is not allowed, and this is blameworthy. And that person, he should be reprimanded. The author, he says, وَفِي الْمُسْنَدِ عَنْ مُعَوِيَةٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ مَرْفُوعًا. And in the musnad, of al-imam Ahmed. If it's mentioned like this, likewise, al-musnad, there's many masanid, from them. The most famous one, if it's mentioned like this, absolutely, it's Imam Ahmed, al-Imam Ahmed. But others, like we have seen, Abu Dawood, at-Tayalisi, likewise, he has a musnad. But whenever they mention it like this, then the terminology of the people of knowledge, it goes directly to the musnad of al-Imam Ahmed. Like if it's said, for example, Qala al-Hafidh, he said this. There's many scholars who have that title, al-Hafidh, al-Dhahabi, al-Hafidh ibn Kathir. But whenever it's mentioned like this, Al-Hafidh, you don't have to guess which one it is. Who is it? Ibn Hajar, al-Asqalani. Now, this is just from the way of the people of knowledge and the way that they speak and the terminology that they have become accustomed to and the likes. So Muawiyah, he says, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, إِيَّاكُمْ وَالْمَدَحْ فَإِنُّهُ الذَّبَحْ. إِيَّاكُمْ وَالْمَدَحْ. Be cautious, be aware of praising. Be aware of praising the people, and you're going to extremes in that, because verily it is a dhabih. A dhabih is a slaughter, and it means to destroy a person's religion. And because by praising people a lot, especially in their face, this could be a means to either make them shy, it can make them shy and cause them to have some shyness and feel uncomfortable, or likewise, worse than that, it could cause them to be amazed with theirself. It could cause the ujub to come and to be to make them amazed with their self and the likes like this. So it's not proper to praise the people in their face unless it's necessary and in a light manner, and that person it's thought that he will be safe from that, and it should not be done a lot, and it's preferred to not be done at all in a person's face. But to praise somebody in general and to praise the people who deserve praise and what is apparent from them, this is okay, especially if a person he asked, for example, somebody who's known to have a clean business and he's known to run a halal affair, and then somebody asked about him, for marriage from him, or asked about they want to make a contract with him, or they want to go in business with him, or make some type of partnership with him. And then what you know from him is that he is righteous, and what is apparent from him is that he's upright, and he's known to be a good brother. Then you mention all of that. You tell him, oh yeah, the brother so-and-so, all we know about is good about him. And he's known that, inshallah, his dealings are good. He's very cautious where he gets his money from. He's this, he's that. And you praise him, alhamdulillah, this is all good. But whenever you do that, you say, هَكَدَ أَحْسِيبُهُ وَاللَّهُ حَسِيبُهُ وَلَا أُزَكِي عَلَى اللَّهِ أَحَدًا. Like this, I think about him, this is what I know about him, and Allah is his reckoner, and I will not praise anybody over Allah. And I will not praise anybody over Allah. This is the just way. So you say what you know about him, and then you return the affair to Allah. And then you return the affair to Allah. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.